You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Around the NFL Podcast.
Would let Jamal Williams get his touchdown.
That's right. Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. I'm Greg Rosenthal, sitting in for Dan Hansis in the host chair. He'll be back Thursday, but I'm surrounded by a room filled with some heroes, Mark Sessler and Patrick Labon.
We're here. Hey, guys.
It's great to have you back, Patrick. I don't know when the last visit was.
I don't remember.
Fog of war scenario.
It wasn't that long ago. It was in the playoffs.
It wasn't that long, but it also, it's anytime I'm not with you guys is...
You
not,
feel that.
Yeah. Mm. So there's a hole that has been filled.
Right. It's like Connor Orr, or maybe it was Dan's old saying at the Combine, which if you can tell by the sound quality here and by the fact I said we're in the Chris Wessling podcast studio, we are not in Indianapolis. Breaking news. But he used to say back in the day, it's not about the meat when we would go to St. Elmo's, the famous steakhouse. Mm-hmm. It's about the meat.
Ah,
that is a Danism.
And I would say the same, you know, with hanging out with you, the meat in this case would be the Alpa store up in the huddle we had before, or whatever that was.
We had some carne asada.
Carne asada.
It was good.
It was tasty.
And I mean, I think we did such a good job not going to the Combine a year ago that the company, the people high upstairs said, let's not send them again because they seem to thrive by not going to the location.
Right. So. People still listen to the shows anyways. What do they really know? It's fine. Although I got to say, if you're listening, shadowy league figures out there, I'm officially putting in our request that we want to go back.
I think we do.
For 2025. If we are... still gainfully employed at this company, which is, you know, never a guarantee, I want to push to go back. I think it's fine. It was nice. It's on some levels, it's easier to be here, but I want to go back.
I'm with you. I think we should bring Patrick with us as well.
Yes. Oh.
Like to make it a full group experience.
I too would also like to be employed by this spectacular organization in 2025, and I would like to join you guys.
Okay, it'll be fun. It is
a great company.
It has been fun going there, but the years off were fine. And you know what? It was actually almost, on some level, it's easier to watch all these combine pressers. Now, back in our days as reporters, as real, you know, dogged reporters, we would split up all the different podium sessions between the GMs and the coaches. You know, 80-90% of them have a 15-minute session on a podium. We would split it up. We would even have a draft when Kevin Patra and Connor Orr were involved, and we would split it all up.
But now we're talking how the sausage gets made. Oh!
This time we just sort of watched on Twitter, watched on NFL Network, and we got a lot of good sound. So we're going to play a game to start this show. We've got Eric back behind the glass. Randy is back there as well. And they've been putting together sound clips all day of what's been coming out of these combine pressers. So even before we get to a little bit of news, this felt like the news. This felt meteor. We're going to play a little game of do we believe it?
I like the meteor callback.
Yes. Do we believe what these men are saying? And in this case, it is all men at these podiums. We don't have a woman head coach or a woman GM. It's, do we believe what these men are saying? Maybe that's the name of the segment. We haven't discussed that beforehand. What do you think?
I think it is, you know, appropriate on multiple levels. Yes, I tend to believe nothing, so I want to see if someone can convince me otherwise.
Mm.
What about if you believe?
Okay, if you believe?
Yeah, just if you believe.
If you believe.
As the name, I don't know.
Eric, break the tie.
I like, do you believe?
Do you believe these men? I like having these
I think
men
when you originally pitched these, it, you said, do you believe
them? I think in 2024,
them?
The answer would be no to most.
Do you believe them? Yeah. That was the original pitch? Okay. Let's start with Kwesi. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who's in the spotlight right now because of a lot of these Justin Jefferson talks. I'm getting texts from people. You're getting these, like, aggregator who's covering another aggregator, who's covering someone who heard whispers that Justin Jefferson may be traded. And it's been kind of the story of the last couple of weeks. It's been annoying me because no one's actually really reported anything. Kwesi had some first-person comments on the topic today.
We got unbelievably close. We've said it and we'll continue to say it. We think he's the best wide receiver in the league and should be compensated as such. We think he's one of the best non-quarterbacks in the league. I think he should be compensated as such. And so we'll continue to have those dialogues and those conversations. I've promised them and I will continue to promise them that I will not talk about our negotiations. I think this job should be done with integrity. So a lot of the stuff that I hear is completely false. Mm. But I can't get up here and tell you what's not true or not false because that's not how I promised to do this job.
So he was talking about contract negotiations that he had with Jefferson, how close he was.
I tend to, despite my comments that I like theoretically believe no one in these places, I do believe him because I think part of it is they went through a process last offseason where they cut salary, they cut some veterans, they're in a bit of a rebuild, but why on earth would you, how do you sell to your fans? Part of this is, you know, the PR side of it. How do you sell to anyone, including whoever's going to be your quarterback, the rest of your offense, the rest of your locker room, we're going to find a way to trade the most exciting young wide receiver in the league. And then what's the pathway forward? So I think, yes, they're going to keep him. They want to make it happen. That's my thought on that.
Yeah, I mean, just taking it all into context, just watching the clip, I believe him. I'm at 85% belief. But then, like, the sourcing on this trade rumor doesn't make any sense. It, like Greg said, it's this game of telephone that doesn't have a beginning call. And why would they trade Justin Jefferson? Like, the whole point of this entire process that we're in Indianapolis to do is to evaluate talent, acquire that talent, and hopefully have them on your football team. What's the point of getting a known commodity that, you know, as Kwesi said, is one of the best players in the game if you're going to trade? For what?
Right. They got him by trading Stephon Diggs. And it was like, you're not going to just keep merry-go-rounding this.
Right. I forget now who it was, and I apologize on Twitter, who was saying, like, yeah, like, who knows? They could maybe even not keep Cousins. They could end up using some of these draft picks to get a young quarterback. You take one at 11, and then eventually you use all these resources to go find a number one receiver to find, like, to support this young quarterback. So I did think this was newsworthy. It was noteworthy. I believe him because of the clarity and aggression in which he said that the rumors were false and also that they got so close. That was new. We never heard that he said we were extremely close to getting a contract done previously. I think he's talking about during last season or before last season. So the fact that he's saying that now or the last time they talked, I feel very confident. I believe you, Kwesi. Let's see if we believe Kevin O'Connell, the Vikings coach, who's going to talk about Kirk Cousins and his future with the team.
The thing about free agency itself is this is not Kirk's first time in free agency. Kirk Cousins knows how I feel about him. I've held no secrets there. He knows how the Minnesota Vikings feel about him. I believe Kirk wants to be a Viking, and we're going to work to try to make that the outcome.
I believe Kevin O'Connell. because again, maybe it's a Vikings thing. It just makes sense, right? Kirk's ultimately going to make a financial decision for him and his family. The Vikings are going to try to be a part of that. They don't necessarily know the outcomes, but I don't think there's a reason not to try.
Right.
And I did like the timing from Kirk. He was throwing a football and like doing a kind of like 40% drop back.
On a tennis court.
On a tennis court.
That kind of threw me.
How do you feel about that, Greg? Would you want Kirk Cousins on your...
Yeah, okay. I believe that I could be wrong, but I believe Kirk is in the former tennis star club along with Matthew Stafford and Drew Brees, which does support that tennis is an extremely athletic sport. Unfortunately, apparently, you know, we're losing our best athletes to the NFL.
But he's also a proven stage actor, like we've seen him, you know, from a musical angle. The Vikings, maybe they're just a believable, transparent organization. But I think Kevin O'Connell also came out and said, wait a minute, this is one of the huge reasons I wanted to come here. And it's like, if you're a coach who is an offensive-minded coach and your quarterback is at the center of that, like, you go move on from Kirk Cousins to what? And suddenly you could be in a total abyss if you... And he pointed out how much he thought that Cousins was playing like a top quarterback before he got injured last year, too. So I think they're open to bringing him back, and we'll just see what happens.
Right. I believe that Kirk, all things being equal, like, for some reason, the Vikings would match any deal out there. I believe Kevin O'Connell that Kirk Cousins would rather just stay in Minnesota. Why wouldn't he? You could see it on the quarterback show. It's just logical.
You got kids in school.
You have a great system. If they're not equal and another team wants to blow the Vikings out of the water and the Vikings aren't prepared to pay $50 million a year, $100 million guaranteed, and there is a team out there that might want to do that, whether that's Atlanta or someone else, then it's a totally different conversation, and he could lose. So we'll see. I'm not as confident that Minnesota and Kwesi will meet that sort of price, but I also have no idea if anyone's even going to make that sort of price because he's still 36 coming off a torn Achilles. I think that can't be ignored.
And that's why Kwesi's answer is believable and the outcome of that is believable because
with Jefferson.
Because this answer, while I believe Kevin O'Connell, it's not as certain that I'm thinking in 3 years Kirk Cousins is going to be in Minnesota,
right.
Whereas I feel pretty confident in 3 years
or
Justin
even,
Jefferson will be like,
or even 3 months. We saw Kirk Cousins. I saw him on the Insider show. He did had some like gold grill to his teeth, and Justin Jefferson appreciated that. So look, they're all getting along. They're buddies. It's not as kumbaya, I wouldn't say, in Chicago. I thought Ryan Poles, their GM, had some telling comments when he spoke about Justin Fields on Tuesday.
I will say this. I think you guys know me well enough now. I do, if we go down that road, I want to do right by Justin as well. No one wants to live in gray. I know that's uncomfortable. I wouldn't want to be in that situation either. So we'll gather the information. We'll move as quickly as possible. We're not going to be in a rush and see what presents itself and what's best for the organization.
I mean, when I hear we want to do right by Justin Fields in the context of like, if we move him, it matters to us that he doesn't get dropped off a cliff into the worst situation somewhere else. I mean, we'll talk to Nate Tice later about some quarterbacks. I would say one thing, like as the weeks have gone on, I put it at like 0% that they're keeping Justin Fields. I just put it at about 0%.
I've been on that corner that I just didn't see it for many reasons. The biggest ones being that there's two or three great quarterback prospects in this class, and I just think they're a little uncertain about Fields, and it's just logical. And the fact that he repeated those words you said or that you heard multiple times, almost like he had it a little ready that if they do it, they want to do right by Justin. They don't want to live in the gray. And he went on polls to like multiple other interviews. He wasn't afraid to like talk about this. And if Justin Fields was their quarterback, they would know by now. If they're planning to take a quarterback first overall, they know by now. It's not like they're waiting to decide. So they know what they're going to do. You do not say that about your franchise quarterback publicly if you are going to keep him, period. They know they're trading him. And one thing we didn't hear was he even put a timeline on it that, like, ideally in the next couple of weeks, basically that it's sooner than later. It makes more sense if it happens before or right at the beginning of free agency.
Yeah, and that's one thing that makes sense for the Bears, and it makes sense for Justin. And I think what Poles is doing there is acknowledging that this is a difficult situation for Justin, who didn't do anything to anybody, right? He didn't run afoul of anybody.
No.
The Bears feel that they can have a better chance to get a better quarterback coming up in the draft, and he's acknowledging the circumstance and who knows, like, does these conversations really change the trade price? Like,
no, they don't.
So, like, I don't understand why we have to, like, be coy about it, because the price is going to be the price. But I'll ding him for the coyness, but I do believe that he's not angry at Justin. He doesn't want to put Justin in a negative circumstance. And it when it comes to making the trade, it's ultimately going to benefit Justin, because some team obviously wants him, and the Bears, they don't.
And I don't think it's even that. I don't think it's coy. I think that's the NFL version of not coy. And yet, like, when people are like, well, he's got to play his cards close to the vest to, like, you know, keep his leverage of what it's like. Either Justin Fields is available or he's not. The team's trading for him, they're going to know if he's available or not. You need to know that before you trade for him.
Yeah, and Poles said he wanted to know himself, like, by tomorrow. Like, they want to come learn about these other quarterbacks.
It's right.
Like, you've already made your decision.
Right. That's going to be one of the most fascinating stories over the next couple of weeks. Could the Giants be one of the teams that would be in a Justin Fields? That would be a little wild, but who knows? Let's listen to Joe Shane talk about Daniel Jones's future with the team. Joe Shane is the GM of the Giants.
I have faith in Daniel as our starting quarterback.
He was answering questions there about Jones's future, not exactly answering the question, but just saying that he has faith in Daniel. And he's a little, you know, a little sharp there.
I can't think of a team that should have a more active wandering eye at this position than the Giants. I think they mismanaged this exact process with Jones and Saquon a year ago about as poorly as you could. And you're kind of back in the same situation. Jones has a very big price tag, which I think is a problem. But, like, they to me feel like a legit candidate to draft another quarterback to compete with Daniel Jones immediately, money aside.
Yes, I don't believe Joe Shane in this one, that he has faith in Daniel Jones as his starting quarterback.
Did it sound like it?
Yeah, I think he's going to bring another option in. The timing is tricky because, like, I think he even said he's bringing a veteran in. He said he told Daniel Jones that, and that makes sense. Tyrod's a free agent. Daniel Jones isn't going to be able to be healthy for a while. So even if you're drafting a rookie number 6 overall or even trading up, you're going to want a Tyrod type or a veteran to bring in. So it'll be interesting to see what type they bring in along with what I believe is going to be a rookie. I don't believe him.
Yeah, I believe, I guess, in the spirit, because he chose his words very carefully. Like, Daniel Jones is their starting quarterback as per the plans.
Well, he said he has faith in him.
Faith
I don't believe
him.
He has faith.
Let's
in
get
him
a few beers really. In Joe Shane and see what he says.
But it seems like the obvious scenario we're evaluating in New Jersey is that there's not a lot of reason to have faith in Daniel Jones' longtime prospects as the Giants' starting quarterback.
It's crazy that they gave him that contract, which guarantees him $40 million this year, else he wouldn't be on the team.
But at least they didn't pay the running back, right? Because that's the worst-case scenario.
Right. One little nugget there was he opened up the possibility of using the franchise tag on Saquon. Joe Shane did, kind of pushing back against an Adam Schefter report from Monday that the Giants weren't planning to use the tag on him. He also, by the way, mentioned that the Cowboys aren't planning to use it on Pollard. The Raiders aren't planning to use it on Jacobs. The Chargers aren't planning to use it on Eckler. None of those are surprises at all. But Shane throwing it out there publicly that actually the cap went up $30 million and that might have changed our math that maybe we would use the tag on Saquon. Worth noting, this was the first time, and if we were there, Mark, I would have tried to draft Dave Canales, the Panthers.
You'd want to cover that press.
I would want to cover. I think it'd be a high draft.
Sure.
Where do you see that?
I think the draft process, we'd sit there, like, we'd go out and have dinner, and we'd literally, the 4 or 5 reporters would, like, go from top to bottom. And I think the process was, like, don't get stuck with the GM or coach you don't want to cover.
Right.
And I like new faces, so he would have been high on my list.
Yeah, I always want to see the new face. And Canales came out firing at his first presser.
How's it going? How's everybody doing?
Well, how are you?
Great. Had a nice workout earlier. Ready to rock.
Okay, just the intensity and the tight-fitting Lycra on him, it was a lot, and I like it. And I want to hear more from Dave Canales about his thoughts on his quarterback.
No plan to fix Bryce Young. I think for me, it's about building an offense that we can be proud of, something that is tough, something that is smart, that takes care of the football. Number one, we got to create more explosives, and then of course we have to minimize damage with exotic pressures and things like that. So I think just elevating the whole group and really asking Bryce to just do his part.
Vibe-wise, like, what are you picking up here from Canales?
I'm picking up that the workout wasn't that intense that he had. That's a lot of energy. So I don't know that it was. Maybe the volume was there. The intensity wasn't necessarily there.
He seems like he would be like a good instructor of like aerobics.
Oh, I think
or
so.
Or just maybe a strength trainer.
I'd say that I'd have to caution myself that type of persona sometimes where it's like, hey, I'm great. I worked out this morning and had a healthy breakfast. It's like that kind of person can rub me the wrong way at a certain hour of the morning.
He did elaborate, guys, right after that. He said it was like a CrossFit kind of thing and then ended with a steep incline walk.
Okay.
But he framed it as very sweaty.
Yeah, so he did like some circuit training.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel pretty confident.
He's a fit dude.
He's a fit guy, and I think that he is a good fit for Carolina. I do think that all of those problems from 2023 were not Bryce related. It took a team effort to be that bad. So I do believe him. I do believe him that the plan is to come in and fix Bryce. The plan is to have a functional offense that is NFL level and competent, and then we can evaluate Bryce. But I don't know that you could really evaluate anybody on that offense.
I think also from his own belief that he can improve all this, Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, like comeback player of the year and a comeback player of the year candidate in my book, two guys whose careers were lost. And so why come in and say, we need to fix Rice? Like, you don't label him that way. You kind of lift all the blame off of the quarterback and start fresh.
Yeah, I think C.J. Stroud was quoted in during Super Bowl week, you know, him having a conversation with Bryce Young of just like, never forget who you are, why you are the one. You are the one, not me. And like kind of saying like everything that happened, like you're still that dude. And that's going to be a big part of Canales, the mental side of it. I think Mike Daniel did a good job with Tua, for instance. Tua had played a couple years before. It's just Bryce Young. And yeah, I think of Alex Smith, who had the worst rookie season I've seen from a first round pick, certainly a first overall pick. And the very next year got a good coordinator, Norv Turner, and played 1,000% better and went from the worst quarterback in the league to like a league average quarterback, which is pretty good for a second year. They probably are aiming higher with Bryce, but I can see the parallels in what you said about just making the offense better. One person who is not going to make the offense better in Denver, I think, is Russell Wilson. We're going to go out of Indianapolis, and we're going to go into what is either the home of Russell Wilson or Brandon Marshall. I'm not really sure.
I think it was Russell Wilson.
Okay.
There's soon-to-be-sold Denver home.
There's comically large books.
Right. I assume this was not Brandon Marshall's podcast studio, because I would be like, let's talk to them.
No, this is
because they got some cash.
This is Russell Wilson's house, because I think Brandon Marshall makes a couple comments like he sees Ciara walking around and he's like, oh, there goes C. So it's at Russell Wilson's house.
I gotta say, I would be a better podcast host if I had listened to all of this podcast, because I actually want to, because when I heard 80 minutes of this, I thought that actually it's a good use of 1.5 speed. I don't know if you're into that with podcasts. I approve it now. In certain circumstances, not like comedy, not if you really love the guest or something, but if you just
for information purposes,
this would be a good one, 1.5. But I want to listen to it because I have a feeling it's going to be fun. But I've listened to about 7 or 8 different sections of it, and some of them were like 2 or 3 minutes long. So I've listened to a lot of it, including this first one on Russell Wilson talking about winning is a habit.
Listen, I think in a 12-year period, there hasn't been much that I haven't gone through. I've been through all the winning. Been through some of the losing, not all of it.
Somebody said
some of it. Don't get used to it.
Yeah, right.
Because so many people get used to losing.
Right.
Winning is a habit, but losing is too. Mm. And that's not a habit I'm taking in. Mm. That's not a habit I believe in.
Does not believe it. The haircut's different. I feel like it means business. He's now freshly shorn, wearing it tight like a Patrick Claybon. Russell Wilson also tried to leave open the possibility that he could stay in Denver.
I got more fire than ever, honestly, especially over the past 2 years of what I've gone through. Whether if it's in Denver or somewhere else, I hope it's in Denver. You know, I hope I get to finish there. I committed there. I wanted to be there. You know, I want to be there.
Hold on. You can go back to Denver, bro?
I can go back there.
You can play with Coach Payton again?
Yeah.
That was Russell Wilson and Brandon Marshall on the I Am Athlete podcast.
I mean, I think you just have to look at the Russell Wilson experience in a different way than someone else answering that question. Like, he's admitting no defeat. I will say for he's an easy target, and I find him grating to listen to if he goes on and on about his sports psychology stuff. But The one honest comments I thought he said during the season was that how hard last year was for him and how hard this season was just to be a different, to be seen so differently. I can't think of another quarterback that went from star power to off, like completely, we look at him as like a failure at this point. And to go through that personally probably would try you. But like, I don't think in his world of worlds, he's getting paid. He's going to get paid a ton of guaranteed money. Why would you want to go back into this cauldron, this experience with Coach Sean Payton, who openly doesn't want you to be?
No, body language and tone did a lot of work there, because when Brandon Marshall was like, really? And he was, and then Russell
Wilson. Good question by Brandon Marshall.
No, yeah, and Russell Wilson gives him kind of like, yeah. He sort of like gave him a like, well, maybe, you know, not really.
Yeah, it's not something that he's going to personally enjoy. Like, I don't think Russ is going to be chilling at Sean Payton's house and they're going to be sharing memories about their times together. But I do think Russ would like a chance to be a starting quarterback somewhere. And if that's Denver, he'll take that chance.
That's your only chance.
Yeah.
Yep.
If that's the only one. But yeah, it's grating and it gives weird podcast grifter. But like, I wonder, like, because so many of those people, like, we have a nation of people that got grifted. People bought all those power energy band bracelets and like
grifted.
Listen to hours of Tony Robbins.
Wait, power energy.
Yeah, there was this company that they that they put holograms.
Actually, my son Walker does wear this one that they said is good for like your stomach if you get car sick, which I think it has as much effectiveness, yeah. But it tricks them into thinking it works.
But yeah, like it's weird that people fall for all that stuff, but for some reason, like, Russell Wilson can't necessarily get away with it. But I think it's all the same.
Mm.
But it's
good point.
It's just he is tiring, but he's a better quarterback than Mason Rudolph, you know.
Sure.
And like, the price tag clearly is the difference, but it feels weird if he's priced out.
I do worry about him though, because he's just this relentless positivity. He's gonna believe that his belief will take him to the next level, because it has. He's achieved more than anyone would have ever imagined. A third round pick who is a Super Bowl champion, one of the 7 or 8 best quarterbacks of the last like 10 years.
9 Pro Bowls.
Right. Like, he's achieved it all, and yet I don't think it's coming. This doesn't happen to every quarterback, but for him, I don't give much chance of it coming back. It's not coming back. And I don't think even the starting job is coming back. And so for him to adjust to what that's going to be like, I think it's going to be difficult. And I thought it was going to be difficult sometimes for guys, and they end up doing it really well. I think Cam Newton transitioned into that second Patriots phase of his career pretty damn well, and it worked for him. So maybe Russell Wilson will end up doing that, even if he's not playing that well, like, where he's a good teammate and like, he fits in and it's fine. But to me, it's going to be hard for him to adjust to a point where he's like backing up Drake May or something like
that. And when the Steelers tell us, and I don't know if I believe them at this point either, but that they're not chasing another quarterback, I'm struggling to find the team out there that inside their building convince themselves Russell Wilson can be our starting quarterback and this is going to work well.
Right, so he's probably going to get cut. He sent a video of him working out today with Brandon Marshall. They're working out together.
Let's go, let's ride, baby.
Ooh. Two, you know, love Nipsey Hussle, but I feel like we got to move on from the like grinding all my life song is the song for every workout video for pro athletes. At some point, we need to move past that. We're not moving past Sean Payton though, who had kind of amazing comments. You know, he's getting annoyed by Russell Wilson continuing to talk about the contractual nefarious stuff that Russell Wilson was asked to do by the Broncos. And you know it's annoying the Broncos that Russell Wilson keeps bringing this up. I think that might be why Sean Payton kept honking about it on Tuesday.
I saw this like humorous meme the other day where there's a Bronco fan with a shirt on and there was like 8 quarterbacks names with a cross through it, you know, and he's drinking the quarterback Kool-Aid, and our job is to make sure that this next one, you know, doesn't have a line through it.
Mm.
I do believe him.
Yes, I believe him. The fact that he says the next one, he also put a timeline on Wilson.
So I would anticipate it being within the next 2 weeks.
So you don't think this is going to go to the eve of March 17th?
I think I just said the next 2 weeks. Yeah, next 2 weeks.
I love a little fiery Sean Payton.
He's
a fun value add to have back.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to remember how he was at the very start of his career, but he has zero. He openly has zero patience for half of these conversations at this point.
Yeah, he's clear. He lets us know, and that's the thing. It's easy to believe Sean Payton because you know he's going to say whatever comes to mind, and he said it there. We're going to know.
He's got the Paris, Saint Germain, the cool hoodie on, and he's got the Jordans, and he's living life. He's doing fine. We're going to listen to a few more people, if we believe them or not. And before we do that, though, we're going to take a little break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
We are back, and so are the Stars of Tomorrow, taking the field in Indianapolis. We have a front row seat waiting for you. Watch live as our analysts are joined by current players to break down the top quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs as they compete at the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine. Don't miss Players Only Combine, presented by Noble, with coverage starting Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern, only on NFL Plus. The boy's into it. The boy wants to watch some combine action.
Walker.
Oh, yeah.
A completist.
He got a draft board?
He's been in it. He was all excited because they were showing old NFL combines, apparently, on like the NFL channel, and he was confused, thought that was live. I was like, no, don't watch this. Let's wait.
I also saw he was watching one of those top 10 shows with an old clip of Wes back in the day.
He is a true junkie, and so he was using his TV time to watch old top 10 in-season trades, I believe was the episode. Ooh. And Wes was spouting wisdom about the Bobby Lane trade from Detroit, which is the most West thing ever, and talking about this curse, and it truly is a beautiful thing to like walk in a room and see your son and he's watching this thing and Wes is on it. So Wes lives on, and that, like, he was so strong in those episodes. If you ever have a hankering, you should go check those out.
He was made for that content,
right? Yeah. And I was on that episode too, and
you were also made for that content.
Yes. No,
you were, Greg, because like when I see those number interstitials on the top tens, and there's like a ball bursting through an aquarium with the number 6 on it, and then Greg Rosenthal's face comes up, like, that's...
Or it's like, wait, why are there like 5 buxom cheerleaders and the number 7? And it's like, wait, why are they there exactly? But that's like the whole show is just like is the cheerleader, you know, in the interstitials.
Does Walker think that every dad is just hanging out on television?
No, I asked him that, and he thinks it's cool. But no, I was bad back. We all get better at our jobs. You were saying you had regrets, I believe, about an interview you just did yesterday. I often have regrets about performances on this show, and I can say without a doubt, if I could do those top tens again, I would be better at them now than I was 7 or 8 years
ago.
Well,
I would say one thing behind the glass, like they often are filmed at the combine, and like it's like go out till 3 a.m. and then film this at 7 a.m.
That was a little bit of it, but yeah, Emeka came over and she supported my claim. She's like, "Yeah, you're just so chill. Why are you just?" And I'm just like being very like chill and laid back, which is not the way to do that. You got to be more like Damon Amendolori or whatever. You got to come hot. Right. You got to come decisive.
He does it.
Not that I would do that. I'm just saying, trust me, we all get better. Not at things that we do. I would be better. We would all be better, I think.
Yeah, I didn't make my combine appearance that time. So like, you know, I mean, I could do better as well.
Mark is a striking television presence from, you know, he came from the desk at NFL Network in 2020. You were a different man back then.
A bit of an end around the television executives here. Not sure how that all came together.
AJ Brown was on WIP last week, and we're going to include him in this Do You Believe section because it was talked about in Philly and certainly by Howie Roseman at his combine presser. And AJ Brown was talking about the rumors of whether he would want to stay in Philly or not.
I have no problem. I want to be here. It's as simple as that. I love where I'm at. As simple as that. Next question.
And he also hit on the talk that there could be friction with him and his quarterback.
You know, I think that's total BS. You know, I'm not going to get into me and his relationship on the air, but it's total BS. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a problem when I was on my sixth game streak. They wasn't talking about that then. So they only started talking about that when we started losing. So, of course, yeah, you see friction from everybody, from the coaches, the players, from everybody. So, yeah, so there you go.
The one interesting, like, dynamic to this was that this was on, you know, WIP in Philly. Like, he was sitting around listening to everyone going off on the radio and called in. It wasn't a schedule. He called in on his own.
That makes me believe him. That makes me believe him. If you're going to call in to WIP out of nowhere.
Right. So I'm willing to think that it was a very frustrating meltdown. And like, that's a tough town to have a meltdown in.
Yep.
And I think it's like, look, it worked really well the year before. There's still a lot of talented players on that team. And it's like, I think AJ Brown's probably found some peace over all that happened. And it's like calling in to say, chill out. It's going to be fine from my side of things.
Yeah. And Not to just make it everything about just how bad the offense was and how disjointed it seemed, but Jalen was hurt at the end of the season, and so was AJ. Like, they were limping across the finish line, so you add all of that together. Like, yeah, there's frustrations. Like, we saw Travis Kelce go at Andy Reid in the actual Super Bowl.
Right.
But as AJ pointed out, they won, so everything's good. Like, we don't have these outside expectations on their relationship because they won. So then we're just to assume that everything's fine and they hug and everything's great. But it's just like such a binary thing. And I'm glad. Like, I'm glad that AJ, because people might say like, oh, he's clearly paying too much attention. But like, people are talking about like, yeah, you would like to be able to pick up the phone and call and say, hey, this is dumb. This has nothing to do with anything. So, yes, I believe.
I agree.
I appreciate that. And I hope they keep A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith together for another year. I think they will. I think they know what they have. It might get a little tricky once Devontae's up for a new contract. He could get a new contract this offseason, but they might not address it yet. Like, at some point, they might break those two up. We'll see. I thought it was interesting. Howie Roseman also all but confirmed James Bradbury. He did confirm James Bradbury is going to be back with the team. I think that's more of a contract
Howie
thing that he has so much guaranteed money in his contract. But if the Eagles had the Chiefs defense, they would have been like in the conference championship, like, and then no one would have been talking about the offense. The offense was okay for most of the year. Let's move on back to Indianapolis. Let's talk to Elliott Wolf. The fact that Elliott Wolf even had a podium was news. The fact that Elliott Wolf confirmed that he has final say on the Patriots roster. Like, this has been a slow build. It's kind of been the expectation. But Elliott Wolf is that dude running the Patriots now, and they're right in the thick of this quarterback talk because they're number three overall. Some people think they could take one. Some people think they could trade down. What does Elliot Wolf think?
I think it's a really good year for quarterbacks. It's a really good year at a lot of positions. Like any position, we're gonna evaluate their strengths and weaknesses, determine who fits for us. We're pretty early in the process here. Like, I haven't met any of these guys. Gerard hasn't met any of these guys. So, you know, as we continue through the process here, we'll determine what's best for the team. And, you know, one thing about the quarterbacks in this draft specifically that I'm excited about is they all look like they're really tough guys, which, you know, is obviously great at any position, but the quarterback position especially.
Elliot Wolf's dad, Ron, the famous...
He's starting to look like Ron Wolf.
Right, GM of the Packers back in the day, famously had a philosophy to draft a quarterback every single year. Ever since I heard that, that's been what I then say in articles and then a podcast. I was like, that's a good move. Just draft a quarterback every year. It was kind of the Patriots move for a while, too, behind Brady. And Ron Wolf would keep hitting on these late round picks that would develop into backups that would be trade picks or be good people behind Brett Favre. So I think Elliot Wolf's going to do that, whether he does it with the number three pick or not. I don't know. He also had some interesting comments. I think it was in a side session because Eric was grinding tape. He watched it three times over. We couldn't find it anywhere on Twitter. He made this comment that he didn't want the culture there to be as, what was it? As
he said, certainly
tough
there's
guy vibe.
Right. Certainly there's more of an open, less of a hard-ass type
hard-ass
vibe
type
in the
vibe.
Building now, post-Belichick.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I figured if he said that on a camera in front of a mic, it wouldn't have been too hard to find the video of it.
And yes.
So.
But yeah, it's that one will probably get back to Belichick, and Wolf shouldn't regret that he said it because he's just being honest. But
ask those ball boys how the negative comments
go inside
England.
He'll probably regret saying it.
Well,
it'll become a little thing in Boston.
Either, I mean, does it matter?
No.
Because the one thing I don't believe about what Elliot said there is that they're early in the process.
Well, that's true, yeah.
I think they've probably done a whole lot of work on the process. And maybe there's a few conversations that they would like to have in person, but I think they're pretty far on.
Good point. Elliot Wolf has been around. Like, there are a lot of, like, John Schneider and other people that go way back in the old Green Bay days where Ron Wolf was there and Elliot Wolf was like a kid. People knew him as a kid. Like, he's been in the NFL forever. So I find his comments to be a little, not hedging, but like, he's not going to tell us a thing about what they're doing at quarterback. I'd be stunned if they don't have a bigger plan at quarterback than go back with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi.
Well, they have to be flexible because with the three pick, you don't know what quarterback you're going to get. Let's say they like Drake May, and as you mentioned, and I failed to mention at the beginning of the show, we are getting Nate Tyson to wrap up this show to talk some quarterbacks. You know, who knows? Maybe Caleb Williams doesn't get taken one, and they love Caleb Williams, and they want to trade to two, and they have resources to get him. Or maybe Drake May falls to three, and they would take him, but they wouldn't take Jaden Daniels, or vice versa. Maybe they're really in on Jaden Daniels, but he ends up going too, and then you have to be able to pivot. So there's a lot of things that they'll have to do before that, including getting, I think, someone in the building through free agency that's at least just there, regardless of what they're going to do in the draft. He also was very high on calling Michael Owenu a core piece and someone they want to build around, which made me think a franchise tag could be coming for Owenu. Just the level of support he was putting behind him made me think either they're going to get that deal done or maybe they might.
Well, they had the third most cap room in the league.
Right.
So it's they think they'll be aggressive.
And they weren't he wasn't as aggressive talking about Kyle Duggar, so I don't think a franchise tag would happen there. Let's wrap up a couple more in Indy. Raheem Morris is the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, and he pointed to one reason why that could be the case.
I'm not afraid to say that we have the ability and we're capable to go out there and win next year. If we do some of the right things, some of the right moves, we can do that. And that's not an arrogance. That's not a confidence. That's not a cockiness. That is more of a credit to the people that were in the building with me still and some of the people that are not there now and what they've been able to do. You know, if we had better quarterback play last year in Atlanta, I might not be standing here.
Perhaps the most honest thing that was said.
Yeah.
And correct thing that was said at the podium today from Indianapolis. It's 100% true. I think Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke would probably agree with that as well. I know Arthur Smith would. You know, maybe there's a few people that think it's Jameis's fault that Arthur got fired, but I think there was a few more things that went into that. Yeah, the quarterback play was bad. It was especially bad in the red zone. They had so many opportunities, and you can think about them week after week after week, play after play, where they didn't get it done there, and go on the quarterback position, and that's the way the game goes.
Yeah, it's like one reason for Falcons fans to immediately appreciate Raheem Morris, the way that he's been talked about from people inside the Rams organization and parts beyond, that we needed an energy shift around the Falcons mm-hmm. offense. And it's very clear right now that if Desmond Ridder is hanging around, he'll be a backup. They're going mm-hmm. somewhere else, and that was important, I think.
Yeah, well, that can't be fun to listen to if you're Desmond Ridder, but it makes a lot of sense. I'm excited about this Falcons coaching staff. It was interesting, I think, hearing Sean McVay. He gave a press conference in L.A. because he's not going to the Combine, about the guys that went to Atlanta and really believing that they put together a great coaching staff, which is, you know, diminished the Rams coaching staff. But that's how it works. Let's wrap up with Tom Telesco, who's still in the NFL. He's still in the AFC West. He did the rare thing where he lost one job and got another. That almost never happens to GMs, and it happened to Tom Telesco, of all people. I don't mind Tom Telesco, but he's not like the guy that you would have expected that to happen. He is the guy that was asked about Devontae Adams possibly getting traded this offseason.
Another GM asked you this week about whether Devontae is available for the trade. What would your response be?
He's a Raider.
It's quick. Everyone.
It is true.
Everyone took that to mean like there is no chance Devontae Adams is getting traded. That I think that's probably true.
I tend to also.
But I don't totally. I don't believe people should be having headlines that he said that we will not trade Devontae.
No, I'm with you. I think it's important that like Devontae Adams was a big proponent of Antonio Pierce being hired and liked that, because I think we were heading towards like irritated Devontae Adams territory with each passing week last season, and a lot to do with the coach that got fired. And I think he's in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback's still a big question, though.
Yeah, and it's a question I think they'll need to answer. And that's something in a conversation they'll need to have with Devontae. But ultimately, it's up to Mark Davis and Tom Telesco to make the circumstances comfortable enough for Devontae to be there. Mm. So it's their choice. Because I asked, we did TA with Steve Smith Sr., and I asked him, if you're Devontae, do you want to be back in Las Vegas? And Steve, like a lot of people, was like, well, depends on the financial circumstances.
Mm.
I mean, they can mm-hmm. make it worth his while to be on a bad football team.
Well, what are they going to do? Pay him more money?
If that's what it takes. If not that, then yeah, Devontae would probably like to, if he's going to play football.
Jackpot, baby!
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you like living there and they get a decent enough quarterback, Justin Fields?
Does Justin Fields want to be with Luke Getsy again?
That doesn't happen too often.
No.
Why not?
It just doesn't happen that often.
What's to indicate that they wouldn't work together? Well,
let's get Mac Jones and Matt Patricia.
No, it's not quite the same. I guess you're saying, as a Justin Fields fan, if I could read between the lines here, you don't want him to be with Luke Getsy necessarily because you're not that confident in Getsy. Because otherwise, like, it's familiarity with the system.
He just said,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I believe Patrick.
No, I believe you, but there's only so many spots where he could land, and I feel like that could be okay. And if I was a Raider fan, I would like that at this point. I feel like that would be a good.
And there would be more hope with Justin, I mean, considering the options.
He just feels like that's what Al Davis would have done at this point, is go get Justin Fields.
That would be an enticing mm-hmm. matchup, and I think you can get over the OC's part of it, but the Falcons also linger out there as a mm-hmm.
they nice loved matchup. Other teams' failed, not failed, but second chance first round pick, because Justin Fields occupies a weird space where, like, he was better than the average first round quarterback, actually, if you think about it. Like, he's better than average. He's just not a top 5 to 10 quarterback yet. Mm.
It's weird that the way that the draft doesn't feel like it impacts this as much as Cousins does.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, Cousins is going to slot so much in the quarterback position, because it feels like if Cousins is not there for Atlanta, then Fields becomes more viable. And then the field, like, it may depend, like, Russell Wilson may have a job or may not, depending on where Kirk Cousins goes.
That's the big chess piece right there. Yeah.
So we've now honked for a while. It's been a little bit.
Honk, honk.
But we've got more to come. And before we do any of that, we're going to take a quick break. And then we're actually going to do the news then.
Whoa.
That's wild. We're shaking things up, Eric.
Innovative.
After the break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi on a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
We are back, and let's do some news. Here is, I'm going to tell you what the news clip is before we even hear it, just to give you a little context. This was Peter King being prompted on NBC Sports Network on the birth of my daughter, Ellis Rosenthal.
Like Ellie, as in short for Ellis. And everybody's going to say, well, Ellie is short for Ellis Burks. Rosenthal is a sick Red Sox fan. Unlike, or just like somebody else on this panel who shall not be named. And my only question is, couldn't you think of a better Red Sox? You know, Carly Yastrzemski, Ted Williams, Ellis Burks?
Better than naming a girl Pudge, I guess.
And yeah, that was this show we were on way back in 2011 on NBC Sports Network. Him roasting me for my daughter's name.
Hey, congratulations to Greg, because we might not have had Peter King if he was talking reckless like that to me. We would have been celebrating Peter King's 26-year career.
Yeah, that was, you know, I took it in good spirit, just the fact that he brought it up. I always remember, it's also the oldest thing on my phone. It's the oldest saved thing on my phone. And Peter King, of course, retired, surprisingly, out of nowhere this week, wrote his last Football Morning in America column. So happy trails, Peter King. No one quite like him in football media over the last years.
Like I was thinking about like this one combine many years ago where, you know, back then you had these long tables where you'd write and you'd be sitting down with people from other, you know, publications and stations, and like Peter King came and sat down like a seat away from me, and like I was like, I'm not gonna bug him, but I was like, this is one of the few kind of football reporters slash football minds where I was like kind of starstruck. And like, it's like to him growing up reading Sports Illustrated, growing up reading these guys like Dr. Z, Paul Zimmerman, and Peter King are like the two dudes that I would just say had these lengthy, incredible careers that where they changed football so much. And Peter King, I think the one thing I heard about him consistently and over, and you knew when you were young, Greg, in the business, was that I guess like his most recent going away, like a going away type dinner. Mm-hmm. It was a mix of like 10 old school veteran journalists that he'd worked with for ages, but then like 10 people that were very new to the industry that he just wanted to be part of that as well. Like it seemed to always nurture, care about young journalists. He really showed incredible faith in some of them that aren't journalists anymore. It wasn't just lifers that he knew would be. And I think Peter King is just a very special part of this industry, and it's like there is no replacing him.
Right. I mean, he kind of bridges the gap of all these generations, and he was like the guy, which it's pretty, you know, in an industry as big as, you know, football writing, and there were other guys over the years, but for a long time, like, he kind of was the guy. Like, when John Harbaugh, I believe, spoke about it, a couple people this week, of like, you know, they're going to miss. They grew up, Eric DaCosta grew up reading Peter King and have those memories of those conversations. And he, I think the thing he did better than anyone else is he got players to talk in a way. He got them comfortable to explain the game or explain stories behind the game in a way that was really unique. And he did that with Sports Illustrated. And then he did that on the web with MMQB. And then, you know, to TV when he was on Football Night in America and everything. He had a great book, Inside the Helmet, where he goes through different positions and gets really, and I feel like it's probably out of print. I don't even know, but if you could find it, that was a really great inside look where he spends a lot of time with some of the best players in the NFL, and it's back in the 90s. It's great.
And I really think, because like watching you guys go around and interact with people, and I do want to celebrate Peter King, but y'all deserve flowers too. And I'm going to be honest, like, because you talked about spanning and connecting mm-hmm. these legacies, like you guys connect those legacies as well. And the one thing that I was thinking about, because Peter came on Total Access the day he retired, was we ran out of time because, you know, Peter writes a 10,000 word column every single week for 30 years. So, you know, sometimes it can run a little long. but hopefully the industry facilitates growth, right, for the next generation of people.
Yeah.
That can come through and hopefully get that access and be around and to do these interviews and to have these relationships, because sometimes it feels like they won't. But I think in the people that I'm sitting with at this table, and, you know, the dude who's not here, and of course the noble one who's not with us anymore, that legacy is it exists. And I don't know why I put on me to say this, but I think it's
wow, Patrick, like that kind of made my week. I don't know. Sometimes you just kind of forget what you even do during the
that
day.
That is really
right back at you.
Appreciated. And it's one of the reasons why I miss going to the combine, because yes. That's a week for that. For you do realize like how long you've been doing this. You see the new people coming up. It is a time to have those sort of meetings, dinners, advice, all that sort of stuff. And yeah, Peter was very helpful to me. That Friday show we did, we had a segment, my old producer Matt Casey reminded me, where Peter essentially played the fantasy football buffoon. Like, how am I messing up in fantasy football? And I was the fantasy quote unquote expert. And that was my role on the show, was like the Michael Fabiano of that show. And I would come on and we would talk fantasy. We would talk like reality and fantasy. Peter would sort of talk about his takes and how that would apply to fantasy. And I would kind of come at him. I was like, actually, no. And we had fun doing that. And he was very nice. He would give me and Matt a ride back to the city in his car. That made a big difference with a newborn getting back an hour earlier instead of having to take the train, and had great conversations. And he was just a great dude. And yeah, that book I mentioned, deep interviews and sort of like what it's like to play these positions and stuff with Boomer Esiason, Barry Sanders, Bruce Smith, Jimmy Johnson. It's a really cool, well-written book. Shows, I think, what he does well. So happy trails to Peter King. We're going to fly through some news that I just thought was worth noting. So jump in whenever you want to hear. First, let's talk a little just rule stuff. The end zone touchdown rule, where the ball is fumbled into the end zone and then the other team gets it on the 20. That's not going to change. It's over. That is not going to change. Despite some people thinking it's going to change, it's not going
to
change.
I find it annoying because the NFL seems to do a good job in the offseason of sussing out rules that seem to kind of generate a lot of like, why does this rule still exist? And like, this is one where you could, I think, temper like the cause and effect of that kind of a fumble, and it would make sense to everyone, and we're not doing it.
I think keep the ball, but you move it back to the 20.
I maintain the sideline should be the sideline all the way down. If somebody fumbles out of the back of the end zone, that's different. Somebody fumbles in the end zone and the other team recovers it clearly. But I just don't understand the sideline outside of the end zone being different. But
you know, there's new competition committee members, Sean McDermott, Sean McVay. Maybe they weren't into it because, like, this thing...
Well, they didn't even go to the combine,
It didn't even get... They must have been on the conference call or whatever, because it didn't even get out of committee, essentially. Stephen Jones talked about it,
McDermott
too.
McDermott benefited from that role in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a good point. The other thing I thought, just a quick note, we don't even need to discuss it, is Andrew Berry, your guy in Cleveland. I like that he's trying to push, and the Browns are proposing pushing back the trade deadline, which I've been talking about for years. I think that would be great. So we'll follow up on that if that actually goes through, but I like that the Browns are trying to get that done. Some business happened over the weekend. T. Higgins officially got the franchise tag, and some thought is that he might get traded. Like that seems to be a more realistic possibility than with most franchise tags. I can't tell if it's just speculation or if there's reasons behind it. Brian Burns also looks likely to get a tag. Dan Morgan, the new Panthers GM, said today, like, if we need to, essentially. Will
you? I don't know why you'd trade Higgins, considering who the Bengals are right now, where your position in the AFC, who your quarterback is, and what that wide receiver room starts to look like if you take Higgins off the team.
Yeah, it's like, how much Andre Yosefas are we willing to build this airplane out of? Why not run it back with T at least one more time?
I think that's what they will do. I'm a little torn. If they're not going to pay T. Higgins the money that he'll deserve and will earn next year, and they've been a team that has been willing to just franchise tag guys and then lose them eventually, that's happened a number of times, including with Jesse Bates, I think, like, you could get a pretty, you know, you might be able to get, like, the 17th pick of the draft or the 20th pick of the draft, and you take a wide receiver there. Is that crazy? I don't think that's crazy.
Well, it's like Diggs Jefferson. If you can pull that off, if you get an offer that allows you to do
that. I know you probably, the odds are you probably won't get it right, but the players coming out now have a pretty high success rate at wide receiver. I was trying to think of teams that would maybe give up a first-round pick for T. Higgins, and this probably wouldn't happen until April anyways, but like the Colts, that's in the middle of the draft. The Bucks, if Mike Evans leaves, like the Texans, the Bills, the Lions, like, would you trade for the 25th pick for T. Higgins? I'm maybe leaning no, but I don't hate it either way.
Yeah, it depends on how you view your window. Like, let's say that the punt doesn't hit the 49ers and McLeod is able to recover it, and the Chiefs lose the Super Bowl, like, and they're out of the Mike Evans run. You know, are they willing? Or would the Bengals be willing to give T. Higgins to the Kansas City Chiefs?
No, the Chiefs, forget it. But maybe like the Texans or the Lions or the Colts or the Bucks, or there's like a million teams where it's like, would the Bengals look at it like, okay, let's not just put everything into this year. Let's keep stretching this thing as much as we can. We're going to pay Jamar.
Like, literally, it's like late, early evening in Indianapolis right now. Probably someone from the Bengals is talking to someone from another team about this topic at this very moment.
A couple other quick items. I mentioned earlier the cap went up $30 million. That is unprecedented. It was expected to go up a lot, maybe like 18 to 20. This is kind of the after effects of the teams printing money once again, now that the pandemic is, you know, in terms of financial repercussions, is kind of in the rear view. And so that's going to make it easier to keep a guy like T. Higgins or a guy like Saquon Barkley. And again, there's too much cap space out there, not enough good players. Some of the decent players that have gotten released, though, in the last handful of days, Shaq Barrett from the Bucks, he's in my top 101. He's at 80. Emmanuel Agba, I think, is at the very back end of the top 101. Xavien Howard, the cornerback for the Dolphins, some of the early cuts.
It just all feels financially triggered in these cases, and most of these guys are still solid players and will find another team soon.
Right, they're like solid but not 18, 25 cap charge type of guys. Although Xavien Howard did have two pretty rough seasons, so I'm not sure the market for him is going to be good. And yeah, I mentioned Brian Burns, and yeah, Brett Veach, the GM of the Chiefs, said they do figure that they're going to use the tag. Now, he didn't say who it would be on. The logic is it would probably be L'Jarius Sneed, and they're going to try to get Chris Jones signed in the meantime. Eric tells me we might have some breaking news. Let's hear it. Go, just read it off for me. There it is right there. The Chiefs have informed L'Jarius Sneed they're going to use the franchise tag for him. So I wish I had read that like 30 seconds
There's
ago.
There's ways of communications, and then sometimes you get on a roll and it's just, it's all good. We got it in here.
It's in the show.
I'm messaging you in like 75 different ways, and eventually holding the fingers, typing fingers up, and Claybon saw them. So.
You know, I'm more of a live in the moment, looking to Mark's.
I dig
know,
it.
Mysterious
I dig
eyes.
Yeah, you're not alone. People say they'd like to do that.
It's a good thing to do. I couldn't imagine spending my time in a better way.
I mean, you kind of have the perfect two seats for it here. It's, yeah. It's a one reason why Dan and Mark just shut me out of conversations. Dan's just
mesmerized. Eyes. I mean, look at those things.
Oh, please. What is happening here?
But I think with Burns and Speed, like the tag as a negotiation strategy, like a step in the negotiation.
Yes.
It seems to be becoming a more popular thing.
Oh, I think it was always popular, but I hear you. I think that's the reason why they created the franchise tag. And
well, as besides its role as a price control metric, like just procedurally, like, okay, so we're going to do this negotiation, but tag.
Right.
Now let's continue.
If anything, yeah, it's always been about restricting the best players from actually leaving the team. It's a vestige of the old free agency system. And if anything, I think they do try to get these deals done, maybe even more than they did 15 years ago. But you're right, Patrick, most of the time they don't. They just end up getting stuck on that tag. And I sense some optimism from Veach, too, on Chris Jones. We will see. And maybe who knows? Maybe we'll have an update.
I mean, they he said it again. They really, really want to keep him. They think he wants to stay. He's been saying that. The one other little nugget that I thought that the Bucks, both Jason Light and Todd Bowles, came out very strongly saying, like, Mike Evans is very much in our plans. So I thought that was maybe not going to be the case. And it's like they're going to push to keep him and Baker Mayfield. And if I'm a Bucks fan, I like that. We'll see if we can believe them, if that's true.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm sure I do believe them. Man, I think there's going to be some big offers for Mike Evans. So we'll see if they can match them.
And it might just, honestly, because we're going to see Derrick Henry playing somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's weird. And we're going to look back. Mike Evans is going in the Bucks Ring of Honor. He may be going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It, just a couple extra years. Like, what's the price?
You know, I'm with you.
I think you keep him in Tampa.
Yeah, I think they would absolutely love to keep Mike Evans. Like they're going to keep Lavonte David. He expects to stay in Tampa. He said as much. We will continue to say things into microphones with our friend Nate Tice. Coming up after a quick break, Nate is going to join us, and we'll talk about some of the quarterbacks at the combine.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi on a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
That music can only mean one thing. We've got a guest coming up. One I'm very excited about. This is a man who once backed up Russell Wilson at the University of Wisconsin. He is the host of the Athletic Football Show, including a weekly episode called Prospects to Pros with Dane Brugler, which I have personally listened to all season in an effort to not be as dumb about the NFL draft process this year.
A self-brag arrives in the
middle of
the
introduction. Make it personal. Make it personal.
It's Nate Tice.
Make it personal. Not as dumb, because there's only so much I can do.
Your program with Dane is great. It's every Wednesday. People should check it out. And yeah, no, it's I'm not going to say it's a total blind spot on this episode, on this show, but we don't cover it as much until like right now. So that's the purpose of you, Nate, to get us smart on these matters.
It's perfect timing for Combine Week. By the way, that intro music really reminds me of the Four Horsemen in WCW with Ric Flair and Arne Anderson and everything. It's very much so. I approve of that theme. I have seen people cover that guitar solo because it's phenomenal. But no, what better way to talk about the draft than literally Combine Week?
Yeah.
When I think the Eye of Sauron moves from the regular season to the draft. And here we are in Indianapolis.
Yeah, you are there. We are in the studio. And yes, our host Dan Hansis loves to play that song as a Rorschach test of what people think of. And that was, I think, the first time that we've heard that.
We often get like, lonely, obsessed detective driving through the LA night BMW or something. So.
Yeah. That. Okay. I like that. Yeah. It's something that came out from 1983 to 1986. Yeah. Something of that sort. Maybe that's why it's Ric Flair in 1994.
Yeah.
Like, because they still acted like it was the 80s, even though it was 95.
Performing a psychological test on every guest is a very damn thing to do. I do, because Greg has increased his ball draft knowledge, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I wanted to know, Nate, do you feel the level of ball knowledge generally has impacted things at the Combine based on the way that it seems like, from what I'm hearing from podiums and interviews, that team officials are very reluctant to say anything? Do you think that your contribution to the level of ball knowledge has stunted conversation at the Combine?
Just me personally?
It's a team effort, Nate. But
it's a team effort. No, I do. I think the general fan has become smarter, and I also think the advanced fan has become smarter as well. And I think there is a growing, Mina, Bill Barnwell, there's many people out there that do so much good stuff, and that I think that's what it is. I think that people realize, oh, there is more to this game rather than just grit and who wants it more, which does matter. But also, like, yeah, the intricacies of the scheme stuff, even the processes. I mean, there's so many articles you could write, but it feels like there's a new article about some process with the draft or training or how teams look at guys. So I do think there is some of that. And also, we're getting into a point where coaches aren't showing up for the combine, right? Which, if you told me that 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I'd be like, really? Like, this is sick. and like, so that blows my mind. And the player stuff, I understand, especially after post-COVID. You know, after kind of the changes of what they realize they can and cannot do. But I do think that people have become more savvy as far as like how they answer stuff or even coded stuff, because I do think the general fan has bumped up a lot. The floor has, I think, raised up a little bit. At least maybe I'm just in my own little bubble, but that's how I think.
No, I think the attention and look, the draft community is bigger than ever. Like, there are a lot of draftniks out there. You got to try to stand apart, Nate. You got to cover the NFL and the draft. And one of the things I've noticed this year is you've been a Drake May guy. And so we got the news this week that the top three expected quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, in whatever order they end up going, that's probably the consensus order, but who knows, are not going to throw at the combine. That's not surprising. That's not new for top prospects over the years. But I want to talk about them anyways, because you've been a May guy throughout. And maybe for the average fan out there, like, why are you a May guy? And you're a Caleb Williams guy too, because I hear you rank the two of them probably among the six or seven best quarterback prospects of the last like 12 years, where, you know, you would have had Caleb Williams number one in almost every draft. You just like Drake May a little bit better, and that the two of them are that high level of prospect. Why the separation between those two and kind of those two as a group? What do you think?
Yeah, I truly think they are as top tier of a prospect as you can get. There's no perfect prospect, of course, and that's going into that, and I'll just be corny and say that, but I've been kind of like officially scouting guys, like as far as like actually doing this process and watching 6, 7, 8 games of all 22 since 2014. I joined the Falcons, and I would say in that time period, so that's about a decade, Caleb Williams, Drake May are up there with Trevor Lawrence as in some way, shape, or form that top tier prospect that I've ever watched. Mm. And then you get off of that, then I mean, I was pretty high on Fields, but he was a tier below that. I was high on, like Stroud, I was, a full tier below that, even if I liked him, or Richardson, last year as well. But I think with these guys, Caleb was a guy I got low on during the season. And then now I just studied him. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're awesome. And you are supremely accurate. And I think that's the underrated. I'll start with Caleb, but that's the underrated thing with him is that he's really good from the pocket. And a lot of that scrambling, running around stuff was out of necessity because that offense blew and the offensive line was no good. And I thought he didn't get a lot of help, which surprised me from going from TV copy to all 22. And it just grew and grew and grew. I am comparing him to freaking Drew Brees coming out of Purdue because of just that accuracy and how he operates. And on top of all the stuff where the ad-libbing and the creation and everything, I think he has rare contact balance. He's tremendous to me. The accuracy and the work from the pocket has been so underrated with him. And that's why on top of all the cool stuff where he gets comparisons to Mahomes, that's a cool package. But May, and why I prefer him, it's 1A, 1B. They're both top five guys to me, easy. May to me is the prototype as far as size, 6'4", 230. He's a great athlete. And I think that's been underrated for him this process. He is one of the most efficient and explosive scramblers in recent memory as far as like coming out of college, like as far as just earning first downs. He's smart with getting down to once he gets past there, but I think he's going to run like a 4.6 something. I think he's a very good athlete. On top of it, he's aggressive and he works over the middle. And the comparison why I always want to bring up the over the middle stuff is I think of that as like 3-point shooting, but for quarterbacks. Mm. So if you can't do that, you have to be an exceptional athlete like a Russell Westbrook who can't shoot, or if you have to be like Chris Paul. And make like Joe Burrow is a great example. He doesn't really work over the middle as much as you would think, but he's a monster in quick game. And he's a monster in just accuracy and all that. He's like Chris Paul. He can shoot those long twos instead of shooting threes. And so to me, you have to have those gifts. May does that. He launches stuff over the middle with timing, with arm strength, and with just anticipation throwing with stuff, like throwing guys open truly. And so, sorry, I got new headphones because I forgot mine. So I had to buy $20 headphones at the airport.
No, look, it looks great. It looks like a podcaster. So,
yeah, right. I know, right? I actually thought I looked like, remember the Dream Team when, Charles Barkley said, I don't know who they are, but we're going to stomp them or whatever we're going to say. Like, I feel like I have the translation headphones right there. Algeria, I think it was. But I think I watch him. It's just, he's that total package. When I watch these elite guys, it's hard. I'm never going to compare anyone to Mahomes, but Josh Allen, Lamar, Justin Herbert, those type of guys, a Burrow, even a Dak Prescott or Matthew Stafford, they work that shit over the middle over and over and over. It's because that is the juiciest area to create explosive plays, but it requires a lot of balls from the quarterback.
So I saw you
has that.
I saw you doing a sit down with a Chicago Bears. It might've been a radio station or a pod, but it was recent. And you were pounding the table for May. And like, even this morning on Twitter, I've seen some people coming from such a different place on that quarterback. And you've got people that look at Caleb Williams and say a big chunk of what he did in college won't work or translate to the NFL. It's like, so the opinions are all over the place. But if you're the Chicago Bears and this dog and pony show about what might happen with Fields, like, do you have to believe that they're looking at these two quarterbacks the same that you are, saying this is an absolute upgrade from Justin Fields? And without any question, no matter what we're saying publicly, these two guys, or who you move on from your current quarterback to get one of them, if it's, and I don't know which one it is, but it's like their heads and tails better than Fields in your mind.
I do. And even though I am still high on Fields and still think he can be a pretty good quarterback in this league, I just think he has blemishes that I don't know if he can overcome with his throwing style. I just talked about all that stuff throwing over the middle. Fields doesn't do that. He's not good in quick game. He actually, like, his upside still is almost like a Russell Wilson when in his prime. Running around, launching great deep balls, having some limitations and some of the stuff, throwing stuff underneath and over the middle. So when I look at that, and like I said, these two as prospects, I still view higher than Fields, even though Fields might be 5 or 6, the guys I watched in the last 10 years. But I think these guys are a tier better, and because they do the things that Fields has shown that he hasn't been able to do, even with a little better situation this past year. And that's even before getting into the contract stuff. And I know kind of fake smart people want to like use that as like a whole talking point, but it doesn't matter. And resetting the rookie contract scale, especially when you're paying guys like Montez Sweat and stuff like that. So that helps the argument as well. I said on that little Bears podcast too, that Bears podcast too, is that I love those guys. I don't know why I said little, but there's like one of them asked, like, would you bump if they traded with Washington, flopped that one pick and got the other guy? And it was May in this example. I was like, that's ideal to me. If you look at them in the same tier, which is what I do, that would be the ideal one. Trade Fields, move back to two, get even more capital, and then take the other guy, the 1B of the two guys.
Right. I don't want to spend any more on this because I want to get to the other quarterbacks, but it does concern me that like one of these two guys is going to be coached by the same guy that was coaching that terrible USC offense a year ago, that suddenly like everyone's like, wow, this was really hard to watch this offense. And it's like that guy is going to be coaching one of them. But let's move on from that.
Yeah, let's go down to Jaden. I've called it, Nate, amateur kinesiology, right, with the body type concerns. How concerned are you with Jaden's body type?
I am concerned, and I'm going to put on my boomer scout hat on a little bit. He's got narrow shoulders, and that's frame. It's all about, you know, filling out the frame. Even a guy like CJ Stroud last year, that was 214, I think, he has broad shoulders and big hands. And why I'm bringing that up is frame to grow.
Right.
He's already gained.
That's like me.
60.
Big shoulders, big hands. I've always had potential to just get bigger.
Okay. We don't doubt that. Sorry.
Yeah, no, but with Daniels is that I think he's maxed out. Like, he's already gained like 60 pounds. I think he went into college at 140, 145, like in a ridiculously low weight when he went to Arizona State. And when you look at quarterbacks, and this is honestly, I remember coming on here, quarterbacks under 210, not even 205, which is what Daniels is listed at, and I think he's more like 195, is it's hard to find a quarterback under 210 or even 205 that has had long-term success in the NFL. If you look even since 2000, the year 2000, the only quarterback to have, I look at adjusted net yards, you know, touchdowns, interceptions, take away sack yardage, seven or more is usually like a top five, top six quarterback season in a given year. There's only been two quarterbacks since 2000 have seven or more, and that's Kirk Cousins and Jeff Garcia. And so, okay, let's drop it to 6 yards, which is like a top half season. So above average type of quarterback year. You're throwing in Aaron Brooks, and that's the only other guy that you can throw in there. So
Breeze has got to be on the borderline there, but yeah.
You got the 209, so okay. Breeze got the 209, so that's what helps him out.
So that four pounds is like,
that
is
4 pounds. But that's the thing is Daniels is 6'4", so he's long and slender, and that's another thing. Like Breeze is stout. That's why I actually compare him to Caleb Williams, is they actually kind of are going to weigh about the same. It might be like 212 or something, but I think that's where my concerns are. It's just, this is a historical outlier. And on top of it, no one has scrambled more over the last 5 years than Daniels. And that's how he chooses to play. It's a hard, and he's reckless. So it's really just durability stuff that is my main concern. And then on top of it, you know, when pulling out of the pocket, like defenders pulling out of their grasp. So that leaves me just a little hesitant, especially teams talking about or people looking at him as a top five guy. It's like, I grade him more as like a late first, early second type that will probably get inflated, of course, but I've had some blemishes. I'm writing about them right now. And as I dove more into it, I have more concerns than I did going into it.
Yeah. He's someone that, like, I know that the draft picks and you guys on Prospect Pro, like the QB3 discussion was a big one all season. Like, who's going to be this third quarterback. And I would say like half the country had no idea that Jaden Daniels was going to be a consensus top five pick. Doesn't mean anything though, because we've seen that over and over, and then those guys do get taken very high, and sometimes they're awesome and sometimes they're not. Of the guys that are throwing at the combine, so you know, Michael Penix and Bo Nix and is JJ McCarthy throwing? Do we know that?
I think he is, isn't he?
I think he is.
Like, who's your favorite flavors among the rest of the guys?
I've grown on McCarthy a little bit, but it's not like I'm like, oh, I'll take him in the first round. He probably will go, because I do think Shanahan coaches are going to love him from that tree.
There's got to be a lot of Broncos McCarthy thing, and that's a lot higher, you know, or even Atlanta at like 8 or 7.
Atlanta, Atlanta or Vikings at 11. I actually think that's the one. I actually think he'll like him. I just brought up all that weight stuff. JJ McCarthy has the same concerns. He's sub 205 as well. And but I actually do think there are some comparisons with him and Cousins when he was coming out of Michigan State. Cousins went in the fourth round. You know, it's not like he was a top 20 guy. And McCarthy has a couple things that coaches like. And even as you only have so many snaps with him because they didn't throw the ball much, is that he's willing to throw the ball in the middle, like not just reckless, but like aggressive. And also he can throw on the move. He's a good athlete. And he's got a loose live arm. And certain coaches from certain offenses, they like that a lot. Not so much me. I like big arm throw far. you know, but a guy like this is like, I can see certain people really liking it, even if I don't have that graded as high, but he's kind of grown on me. And then after that, like Nix and Penix, I'm a lukewarm on, or I should say glass half empty on. And then Spencer Rattler is probably another one. I actually do like how he spins the ball. His more stuff is more off field and maturity and stuff and how he is as a leader. So that I'll find out probably more throughout this week, but he's another guy worth mentioning.
How many quarterbacks go in the first round this time around?
I think four end up going. I think McCarthy gets in there. I think Daniels is in there. And then, of course, May and Williams. I think it'll end up being four.
It's annoying me. You just brought up like seven different quarterbacks, and none of them were the subject of most of our text messages over the course of the season, which was Tulane quarterback Michael Pratt. Nice mid-round option for a guy who I think will have a nice long career.
Absolutely.
Athletic, he can make it happen. But we don't need to spend time on Pratt. Before you let you go, Nate, and I do want to thank you once again for during Super Bowl week, you invited me out to get off the strip because Nate is a Vegas local. That was a home game for him. And just to go to like a normal pizza place in a normal neighborhood of Las Vegas, which does apparently exist, and it did feel like a breath of fresh air. I never had seen that before, and it really helped recharge me for the week. So that was amazing. Before we let you go, who like at a wide receiver position are you looking forward to seeing this week actually do stuff on the field?
Yeah, it seems like Harrison and Neighbors aren't doing anything. So, and Roman Dunze from Washington, I'm curious what he runs. He's a Vegas guy, too. He actually went to a high school right down the road from me, Bishop Gorman. And he was a track star there, but now he weighs about 215, 218. I'm a huge fan of him. I think Daniel Jeremiah has him like as a top three guy. He's a really good player. I compare him to Chris Godwin. I'm curious how he runs. I'm excited to watch him. Another guy I'm really excited is A.D. Mitchell from Texas. Really has grown on me, really twitchy. Transferred from Georgia, big pedigree guy, you know, five-star type of guy. He really grew on me as I watched more and more of him. So I want to see how he tests because I think he might be able to jump out of the gym. And I'm pretty excited to watch that happen.
I think you've said it all, Nate. You've got like 15 other shows that you have to do today, including your own. Have any like night plans here? And I guess you don't need to make plans ahead of time in Indianapolis.
That's well, Bucky told me yesterday you have to. You have to. Unless
in terms of reservations.
Well, there were conflicting. Well, tell me who was right. Tell me who was right, Nate, because Ian said he didn't have to make reservations. Bucky said he did. We assume that Ian's just walking into places because
red carpet for Ian.
What do you have to do? How do you operate in Indy?
I hope I get an invite. if not, I always do a Roost Chris by myself. I'm a sucker for Roost Chris. Just going back to, I just like the chain, and the Indies one is pretty good. So I always do one meal by myself there. But then usually I'm just hoping for an invite somewhere. I know I got a 15-month-year-old at home. This is me catching up on sleep this week. Like that's what I'm doing this week.
Real.
So I got more curfews than I used to when I used to come to Indianapolis. So yeah, just hope for the invite. I think St. Elmo's though is a little basic.
That's a real man right there. That's a man who's comfortable in himself. That he likes spending time with himself and his friend Ruth Chris. Enjoy, Nate.
Just a loser.
Thank you.
Just a loser. Thanks, Greg.
See you, Nate.
See you guys.
I feel like that was a good kind of entry point. We're just starting. It's time to start grinding that tape.
Little primer. I feel behind Nate Tice. I feel like he's been doing more work
that's
on this
okay.
than we have.
That's his thing. He's making rankings. He's one of the draft Knicks. It's fine to catch up late. Kids in school, especially classes you're not as passionate about, cramming's fine. doing it all at the last minute's fine, if as long as you do enough.
As long as you get it done.
Right.
Or many paths.
Right. Like if it's something you love reading and writing, you want to put in the work throughout the whole semester, the class, mm-hmm. you know?
You're right.
The whole time. You're not as into science, find a cheat, not a cheat, but, you know, find a way to cram at the last
whatever
second.
It takes.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah,
exactly. Get it done. That's, and I enjoy the draft, but I enjoy the draft process starting with the combine. And, like, watching the combine is perfect prep for it because you just, all that stuff from, like, DJ, and it just becomes osmosis to where you're talking about.
Well, they give us that 500-page right. PDF. You could
you're like,
pour
oh, yeah,
over that.
Olafashanu's, like, drop step is too big. Dan will be back on Thursday to really settle this thing down. It always gets too long when I'm here running the show. We will be back then. And for Mark Sessler, for Patrick Claibon, for Nate Tice, for Chris Wessling on the Top 10 show, for Eric and Randy behind the glass, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.